Yes.
That's the school.
That's the school.
Yeah, man. Bless him, Lord.
Good job, Dad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Everybody give him a hand. We'll make it 75. Please, we charge our heart. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Sunday morning. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Good job. Right. Good song. Everything relevant.
I'm going to do Sharon's favorite song for this morning, How Great Thou Art.
All right, brother. How great for real he is. Amen.
That's a shout.
Couldn't swear by it.
I power through.
Savior, our Lord, our God, how great He is. You remember Pharaoh, he didn't want to let Israel go?
Yeah.
But he did.
Yes, he did.
You know, they come out of that Exodus with a high hand. They come out. They come out like this. Hey, Pharaoh, have you noticed we're free? Yeah. But hell, we don't want to let us go where he's going to.
Amen. Amen.
When God couldn't swear with no greater, he swore by his own name to Abraham,
right.
Brother Dallas.
Amen.
Because he couldn't swear with no greater. He said, that's as good as it gets.
That's right.
Abraham said, that's good enough for me. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Let me make a couple announcements real quick. First of all, it's good to have our visitors here this morning. I was praying last night for visitors. And then Don and Maple Kid shows up, and they say they've been here before. They're new to me. Good to see them. If you did slip in, I must not have noticed. But this first time, you've been with me here. Okay, they're visitors to me, but they've been here before. But I'll tell you right now, I prayed last night. Lord, would you send some visitors? Me and Brother Ed put two signs up yesterday. I'm sitting there thinking, they're working. They're working. God may honor the effort we put forward, but as far as I know, this is our usual box, that faithful view, amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. I'm glad I had Brother Ed there to help me because I put mine upside down. He said, Brother Ed, you might want to look again before you tighten that down. I'm focusing more on getting the horses and everything on right. He said, that's upside down. I wonder how they'll handle that. Let's see. Landmark Baptist Church is. Anyway, make a long story short, we did put two signs up yesterday. And our whole effort is just to get people to the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, God wants to help people. When we put those two signs up, we bowed our head, Brother Mitchell, and we prayed over that sign. We said, Lord, well, I had to pray my prayer first. I said, Lord, if anybody does like I used to do, if those are beer can this sign, would you smite them with conviction? That they would at least want to come and apologize for throwing a sign, or throwing a beer can this sign. And I said, Lord, if there's some soul needing help, would you use this sign to direct them where they can get some help? Because we want to help people, amen. God, I'll tell you what, I'm glad God is merciful.
Yeah.
It's on the Lord's mercy. We're not concerned. I mean, His mercy is new every morning. And all y'all would say amen. Every morning we need to be mercy.
Amen.
But I'll tell you right now, I throw my beer cans out. To my shame, I did. And I don't want to do it now.
That's right.
I don't want nobody else to do it, even though I did it. I don't want nobody else to do that. But we prayed over that sign, that God would use that sign. That's what you do, everything. The Bible said, be careful for nothing, everything by prayer. Amen.
Right.
But anyway, I want to say I'm not saying this, and I appreciate Sister Bonnie. She came up and gave me some good counsel just a minute ago. And I appreciate that. The Bible said, rebuke a wise man, he'll thank you for it. But I'm preaching tonight at Bethel Baptist Church. Right now, it's more important for me to be right here. But please remember that in your prayers tonight at Bethel Baptist Church in Glasgow at 6 o'clock. Little preacher, old Brother Eddie, will be trying to fill some big shoes. of a great man of God, Brother Rick, asked me to fill in for him tonight. And I desire your prayers, and I pray that you will pray for that meeting tonight. Last Sunday night, Brother Rick asked me if I'd fill in for him tonight. And as I left the church, I told him I would. As I left that church that night on the way home, God told me what he wanted me to preach. I said, praise the Lord. I'm in it now, big time. I tell you, I like it when God said, this is what I want you to preach. I said, I like it like that.
Thank you.
I'm just a messenger boy. You hear what I mean? I just deliver the message. If I don't have a message, I don't have nothing to deliver from Brother Dallas. He said, this is what I want you to preach. I said, thank you, Father.
Thank you.
So I already know what he wants me to preach here. So since I know what he wants me to preach here, that's what I'm going to do, deliver this message. Open up your good old King James Bible to Hebrews chapter number 6. And we'll take our text from Hebrews chapter number 6. I appreciate all y'all that pray for me. I know many of you do. I'll tell you right now, I need them. God help the preacher that thinks he does. I remember my pastor telling a story one time about a young boy that announced his calling to preach, and for lack of better words, he kind of approached it in the wrong way. The night that he got the opportunity to preach, Brother Don, he got up there and he said, I don't need your prayers. And he made such a mess of it, Sister Miranda. He come down like a whipped pup and asked an older preacher what he did wrong. He said, well, if you went up there like you come down, it'd probably been a whole lot better off.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? He said, oh, I don't need your prayers, by the way, he said. Well, I do need your prayers. I want you to know I need them. I want them. I thank you for them. But in Hebrews chapter number 6, I'm actually going to be preaching only from one verse, but I want to read all the way down to verse number 5. Paul, I believe, is the writer of Hebrews. He may not be, and I don't have no dog in that fight. You go ahead, but the terminology of having read the Bible completely through 17 times, you get familiar with a lot of the writing and writers. And it does, to me, like a compass point towards Paul being the writer of it. But anyway, we certainly don't want to make an issue there. Whoever wrote the book Hebrews, hey God, the Bible said in Psalm 68:11, the Lord gave the word.
Yeah.
Great was the coming of those that published it. God gave it to somebody, they penned it, we got it. Amen? Alright, Hebrews chapter 6, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, and that's a deep subject right there. Let us go on. I like to preach a message sometime on let us go on. We get saved and we don't go on.
Right.
I mean, really, we need to go on.
Right.
But it says, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. It's important to pay attention to these next two verses. For it is impossible. Hold on to that word. For those who were once enlightened, I will share some doctrine with you in this message, and have tasted, notice that word, tasted, of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. This is our text verse 5. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. We'll stop our reading right there. I'm preaching this morning on I have tasted. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. That Lord, you said heaven and earth would pass away, but you said, my word shall not pass away. It will endure forever. Just having the Bible today is one of the greatest miracles today of a living God. Because if man could have his way, they would remove the Bible from existence, and they can't. And I'm so glad, Lord, you preserved this word from this generation forever. Lord, you said you declared it to a thousand generations, your word won't return void. It'll prosper in the thing it's sent to do. And I just pray, dear God, today that you'll open your words to us. We've gathered here today for the word of God, for the praise of that name that's above every name. But Lord, it's preaching time. And we pray, dear Father, Lord, you'd give to me to give to these, and we'll all give you the praise and glory for everything said and done. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I have tasted. I'm going to share a few funny things with you. Does anybody here know Wallace Anderson? Who knows him? I got the privilege of fishing one night with Wallace Anderson in a fishing tournament. 3 o'clock in the morning, Brother Don. Wallace says, "Are you hungry?" I said, "Yeah, what do you got?" I'm thinking bologna sandwich, fried chicken, anything. You know what Wallace Anderson told me he had, Brother Jerry? Y'all brace yourself. I'm going to put your seatbelt on right now. Haven, he said, "I got a bowl of tater salad." Now, what's the chances? Tell me what the odds is on that. I mean, we're going to win the lottery. I'm fishing with a guy on the lake. I'm hungry. And I said, he says, "Are you hungry?" And I said, "Yeah, what you got?" What's the chances of a man having a bowl of tater salad? I never eat no tater salad in my life. I'd have walked on the water if I could have. What do you do in a situation like that? I mean, I've got both feet in my mouth. You know what I mean? You've been there when you've done over, did it? Yeah, what do you got?
Yeah.
When he said, "I got a bowl of tater salad, I'm looking for an exit, and there's not none going in." I have to admit, I know maybe the way it looks like now, he probably wrinkled one back to my backbone. He handed me a bowl of tater salad.
Tater salad, yeah.
And you know, everything tastes better on the lake. Does anybody know that? I mean, it don't matter what it is. It just tastes better on the lake.
Yeah.
Well, the snarl that was my nose was, Miranda, when I put a bite of that tater salad in my mouth, I thought, this ain't bad. By the time I eat all of it, I thought, matter of fact, I believe I like tater salad. But I had never tasted potato salad until that night. Wallace Anderson, I believe I set up. I really do. What's the odds? Well, a lot of things in life have come to me on that fashion.
Right.
I come home from work one time. I worked all day long. And I thought I was a man's man, you know what I mean? I come home, you know, expect my wife, make me all fixed up, attractive, you know, beautiful and everything. And honey, I got you a fried chicken, fried potatoes, tando beans, cornbread in there waiting on the table for you. Big glass of ice cold tea right there waiting on you. I come home, and I said, "Oh, what you got for supper, honey?" And I've been married 44 years, you know what I mean? You know what she said, Mabel?
What?
She said, "I got tater soup fixed." Tater soup. I lost it. I hate to say it, but I lost it. She went to the bedroom crying. It's not a confession time, I'm just telling you how it was. I lost it. I remember what I said. I said, "Tater soup? I worked all day long and you got tater soup fixed?" She went to the bedroom crying. "Well, I'm hungry, Rita." Joanne? "What do you do?" "Never eat that soup before." I'd never eaten them before, Don. I done got this thing. I'm in over my head. I'm hungry, so you know what I do? I go over there and fix me a bowl of this tater soup. I've never eaten that before in my life. Anyway, I have to admit, when I ate that tater soup, I'll confess today, I'd rather have tater soup than fried chicken, fried taters, pinto beans, and cornbread. It was the best stuff I'd ever eaten. I'd never eaten it before, Kevin.
There you go.
I had never eaten potato soup before. What I do now, I'm in over my head.
Amen.
I ain't about to say I'm sorry. You know how men are. We went almost, well, at least 3 days. Not a word. Not a word. Then the man that I was, the stubborn, hard-headed man that I was, I just kept festering and festering and festering. This thing done got way out of the banks, Brother Mitchell.
Right.
You know what I do when I get in big trouble? I stopped by Bethel Baptist Church and I slipped in there. It wasn't open. I was on my way home. I went in there and I done what a lot of you men need to do. I went in there and I prayed and I poured my heart out to God. And I said, "Lord, I guess you already know I made a mistake." And I said, "I won't admit that I've made a mistake. I said, I want to thank you for my wife, for finding a woman that could put up with me, that could love me, and wash my clothes, and cook food for me. But I said, Lord, in this situation here, I've got this thing so messed up. I said, would you please help us to forgive one another and get back to loving one another like we used to love one another?
Yeah, good.
And I drove home.
Amen. Wow, yeah.
Amen.
Y'all listen real good right here. I drove home. I opened the door, Brother Don. And I said, honey, I need to talk to you. She turned around. Tammy, she's crying. She said, no, I need to talk first. She said, the Lord just spoke to me just now. Joanne, she said, he said we need to forgive one another and get back to loving one another like you used to love one another. She said, I want you to forgive me. And I'm sitting there, I mean, my jaw is down to the floor. I'm thinking, I'm the one that needs to say they're sorry. She didn't do nothing wrong. She made the best stuff ever. I'm the one messed it up. But I messed it up was all sitting down with anyway. But you see what I mean? Until you've tasted something, you just don't know what you miss out. I didn't know what I was missing out on, baby.
I know.
I didn't know about cancer being that good. I didn't know about cancer being that good. You see what I mean? You see kind of where I'm going with this? Some of you look at me like a cat looking at new cat. There's some things you ain't tasting either.
That's right.
You might well say amen, preacher. Some things look better than they taste. Amen.
Right.
Some things look terrible, but taste wonderful. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Man, I've been surprised on both ends of the spectrum on that little missile.
Right.
I don't know how many things I picked up, boy, it looked like it'd be, I mean, just some kind of good. And you eat this, it, find somewhere to spit it out. And other stuff, you take a second thought about eating it, but as you say, can I have some more of that?
Yeah, right.
You see what I mean? Until you've tasted of something, you don't know what you're missing out on.
Right.
But until you've tasted of it, you don't know what's good or bad. You see what I mean? And it goes a long ways. But I have never, and still have never, tasted anything more wonderful than salvation.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, old drunk Eddie Wade, April 27, 1988. I really don't have time to give my testimony here, Brother Ed's heard it. But I do want to give a little bit of it. I want you to know what you got for a preacher here. I was a complete drunk of the worst kind. Very abusive in word and physical to my wife. She scared death of me right this up. I heard her many times. She had to leave. Good thing she did. In the drunken stupor I was, I don't tell what I did. I'm glad she had enough sense to leave. She'd get the kids up and she leaves. She'd say, I'm going to my mom's. And a few times she left, I throw it up everywhere. And I put that in there, but she said, you clean that up if you don't, we ain't coming back. And a few times she said, I hope you die. And I have to admit, I wasn't pleasant to be around. I was not a husband. I was a drunk. Being a drunk, I've done a lot of things that drunks do. I had a misconception of God. I thought He's my enemy. I didn't know He's my friend until 31 years ago. I know now Him to be my friend, a friend of sinners. Friend sticks closer to a brother, a friend loveth at all times. I didn't know that then, though. But I'll just tell you this, in my effort to evade going to church, I always made plans to do something on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
I'd go fishing, I'd go hunting, or I'd just go do something just so I wouldn't be obligated to go to church with my family. Now I'm going to condescend this thing down real quick. My wife, my good godly, you know, they say a way to a man's heart through his stomach. I sat down to a meal that my wife, which then was on my girlfriend, had fixed.
Right.
I knew right then it was going to matter. I didn't care if I'd kill somebody. I mean, she could outcook my mother. My mother would admit that if she was here. They had my wife fix all of the meals for the family reunions and everything. I mean, my wife can cook. That's why we've been married 44 years. I like to eat. You know what I mean? I got a tapeworm. I take it pretty good. I don't know. But anyway, I like to eat. Well, anyway, my wife, in an effort to get through the thick head of her drunk husband, she kind of let the cat out of the bag. You know, he that winneth souls is wise. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a little bit of wisdom to get somebody that's never been in church in church.
Yeah.
Now, Brother Dallas, she's pretty slick. You know what she said? She said, my cousin was Barry Ford. I'm sure a lot of y'all know Barry Ford. That was my first cousin. Anyway, she said, Eddie, Sandra is my cousin's wife, Sandra Ford. She's been here, I think. I know she's been here at other churches. I think she may not have been here yet, but I'm going to get her to come, give her testimony. Sandra, very meek, doesn't really speak a lot. Very, very reserved in her conversation. Just all the noogie word out. My wife, she said, did you hear about Barry's wife, Sandra, getting saved? I'm sitting there thinking, well, you think I'd be interested in that? You know what she said, kind of using a little wisdom there, Karen? She said, I thought you might want to know. Well, I did. Her husband's my drinking buddy. You better believe I wanted to know.
Right.
For all the wrong reasons. I'm sitting there thinking, man, who am I going to drink with now? That's my drinking buddy.
Right.
So I got the car loaded down with everything I shouldn't have loaded down with. No Bibles, all bottles. And I headed over there to my cousin's house. I pulled in his driveway. And him and his wife was talking when I stormed in their house. And I could tell by the looks on their face I might not have showed up at a really good time, and I probably wasn't appreciated being there. She might have even been talking to anybody's soul. I didn't care, Miranda. You know what I said? I'm in their house. I said, I need to talk to you right now. I'm about twice bigger than him and mean. He come immediately out there to my car. I gave him one of them lectures for Don. I said, I heard about your wife getting saved. Hatefully, you know. I said, you better get you one of them with his drinking. Pass the ribbon and tall boy bottles, you know, that brown bottle. I said, you better get you one. He might be your last. And she'll have you in church. Have you going to church. Won't get to fish with me no more on Sunday. Won't get to go drink with me no more. Won't be long saying to have you in church. And I ain't holding no punches. He's a little bit intimidated. He wanted to say something, but he was afraid of the outcome. You know what I mean? I don't know if y'all ever been around drunk very much. You got to kind of watch yourself. He's watching himself.
Right.
And I'm putting it on pretty thick.
Amen.
I ain't holding no punches, Brother Mitchell. You know what he told me? And this is what a man that's got some degree of common sense is. He said, Eddie, I don't know if you know this or not, but he said Sandy's going to get baptized 2 weeks from now. He said, that ain't like Sandy, is it, Eddie? And I said, there you go. They'll have you down there baptizing you. I'm trying to dodge a bullet here, Brother Ed. I'm not my ranting and raving. Anyway, make a long story short, we got good and plastered. I hate we got young people here. We got good and drunk. I'm not proud of it. I wish I could take it back. I wish that same never happened.
Amen.
To good.
Amen. There you go.
Jesus said, who'll love me the most? He's been forgiven much.
Yeah.
He's been forgiven. I'm one that's been forgiven much.
Amen.
Yeah. That's why I'm fanatical. I left his house that night, Joanne. They put one hand over one eye because I seemed up. Had to get up in the windshield. I couldn't tell how far away the cars were. When I finally got on the Glasgow Evening Road, God being merciful to me, I never met a car. I cleaned this ditch out a while like a slot car. I cleaned that ditch out a while and made it home. But it was like a slot car. That ditch guided me home.
Yeah.
One hand tore that old car up. Made it home. And I told my cousin as I was leaving his house, I said, tomorrow's Sunday. I said, I'm going to go fishing tomorrow. I said it in a hateful way, fellas. I said, if you want to go, fine. If you don't want to go, blank to blank with you. I mean, I wasn't polite, nice enough. Didn't even choose my words carefully.
Right.
Well, that's on Saturday night, Dallas. I get up the next morning. I'm getting dressed to go fishing, Don. I'm putting on my old fishing clothes, you know, them old ragged things you wear fishing. My family's getting dressed to go to church, Mabel.
Yeah.
They're getting all slicked up, you know. Go to church. My bedroom door opens up, Miranda. And a little 8-year-old boy walked up to his drunk daddy.
Bless him.
Bless him, Father. Bless him.
said, "Daddy, will you please go to church with me today?" Oh, I didn't see that coming. I've been in a lot of fights. I won them. I beat people to death. I've never been hit that hard in all my life.
Amen. Bless you.
It hit me so hard it hurt.
Amen.
I'm going to put it in simple terms. I have been looking at any way for 34 years, and I saw the any way that I saw. Right then, right there, I saw the real Eddie Wayne.
Yeah. Amen.
I saw the one I've been trying to keep from seeing. The one that is in God's mirror now. I saw myself as God saw me. I saw myself as someone that needed to do something with this Jesus, which is called Christ. I didn't like this situation, but I needed it, don't you know? God put me there. He put this little 8-year-old boy there, and it brought me to my knees. Amen.
Amen.
I crushed. I mean, I fell over the load. And Taven, I pulled that little 8-year-old boy to me, and I said, "Of course, Dad, go to church today, son." It was the funnest thing for my mind.
Amen.
I don't know how them words got out of my mouth.
Amen.
I couldn't believe it come out before I could stop it.
Amen.
He went running down the hall, Joanne. "Mama, Mama, Daddy's going to church with me today. Daddy's going to church with me today." I wish all of them boys could hear that.
Yeah. Amen.
I wish Daddy's would get in line.
That's right.
This message would be good for a lot of AWOL fathers, a lot of AWOL dads. Mm-hmm. Homer and I'm in over my head. I take off them old nasty fishing clothes off. I put on a nice clean pair of blue jeans. Sister Sharon, she gave me this tie. Boy, I like it. I'll tell you right now, I like it. Carol brought me a big sack of clothes and I like them. And Sharon brought me a sack, a bunch of shirts, and a bunch of ties. Don't bring me no more. I'm thrilled to death. But I ain't got to worry about nothing else. But I thank you for them. I want you to know I thank you for them. But this tie, I just had to wear it today.
Amen.
I put on the best I have, Brother Don. I got in the car with my family. My knuckles is white on the steering wheel. I'm doing something I don't want to do, Brother Dallas. I don't want to go to church. I'm in over my head. God's got me right where He wants me. I'll tell you right now,
Brother. Amen.
I've got like Job. I am the man that's seen the affliction of God. God has got this old boy's number. Ain't no getting out. Ain't no exit. There's things going through my mind like, how am I going to get out of this? We get over at Bethel Baptist Church parking lot. Joanne, they all ruined the church. I'm out there white knuckles still holding on the steering wheel. That devil's sitting there in the car with me, Brother Mitchell. He says, "You can't go in there." He said, "You go in there, everybody's going to look down their nose at you." I'm in World War III, buddy. I mean, I'm telling you, it's on. That devil, that old accuser, he says, "You ain't got no business in there." I didn't. God wanted me in there. I just had a little difficulty following through. And anyway, I finally got out of that car. I went a hole there, Brother Dallas. I got a hole that door handle. And I mean, there's a yellow streak up my back, wider than my shoulders, my knees are knocking worse, and Ichabod Crane. I mean, buddy, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. I finally turned that doorknob. And I opened up that door. Brother Mark, that pastor run to me. I know this pastor. We used to carpool to work together.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this guy. It ain't like he's a stranger. Right. He knows me. I know him. He comes running, Rita. Shakes my hand. He said, "We're glad to have you." I shook Brother Don's hand. I said, "Boy, we're glad." He said, "We've been here before." I said, "Good, make a habit of it." Amen. Yeah. We're trying to fill this little church, you know what I mean? Anyway. He said, "Come on in here. We're glad to have you." Brother Dallas, my breath was so bad. It's one he had to pass out. I mean, I shouldn't have drunk as much as I did. I was in rebellion. I was in rebellion to God's will for my life. I was determined not to have anything to do with this Jesus, which is called Christ. You remember Pilate's wife?
Yeah.
Told Pilate, "Have nothing to do with that just man. I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." That's mission impossible. He says they're going to be your savior, your judge. You're going to have something to do with it. But anyway, I got back here on the back row.
I thought, surely I can hide Mabel. And I'm back there, and it's a pretty good-sized church. That preacher got up there, Brother Dallas, he's using King James Bible too, buddy. His text was, every idle word that men speak, God, they'll give account of in the day of judgment. And here I am with a filthy mouth, filthy mind, and I wish I could take back some of the things I'd see. It. I mean, he's plowing right up my tater road, you know what I mean? I mean, there's taters coming up there, boy.
Right.
Well, what do you do when you're lost? You got an anointed man of God preaching the word of God, and you're back on the back row. First thing I did, I got mad at my wife.
No.
I thought she's told him everything I've ever done. When we get home, I'm going to kick her behind. Lost men, they don't know nothing about the things of God. The natural man receiving not the things of God.
Amen.
Neither can he know them. They're foolishness to him. Yeah. Guys, be here with me. I want you to know both barrels on me, amen. I got mad. Joanne, I thought we'd get home, boy, she's had it. Then I got mad at him, Randy. I carpooled this guy.
Right.
I worked with him. Who does he think he is? Calling me a sinner. It got personal.
Right.
I thought, I'm going to hit him in the mouth on the way out the door. I've been there to do it. I had every intention of doing it. I'll tell you right now, he knows it. I was going to hit him in the mouth on the way out the door. I just want you to know, buddy, God had his way.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
When that service was finally over with, as they're singing, just as I am.
Oh,
without one plea.
Yeah.
The dipped out blood was shed for me. I'm back there in World War III. I've never been in church in my life.
Ever.
I didn't know what to do. I'll tell you one thing, I knew I was lost. I didn't have no more animosity towards my wife.
Amen.
I didn't have no more animosity toward that preacher, Brother Ricky Prophet, my best friend, my pastor. I didn't have no animosity towards him, no animosity towards my wife. I'll tell you right now, I was going down for the third time. They gave me an invitation, Brother Dallas. I didn't go for it. I'll tell you right now, I didn't.
Amen.
I'll tell you why I didn't. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know nothing. I never tasted. I knew nothing of what I needed to know. You remember that Ethiopian eunuch there in Acts chapter 16?
Yeah.
How can I accept some man should guide me? Yeah. I needed a little guidance.
Right.
You know
what
I
mean?
Right.
I left that service that day Bonnie lost. I worked with Bonnie's husband, and we talked a lot. And I tried to talk to him about being saved and everything. I did. What do? You try to spread it around in him. Anyway, let me get back on track here. I left this service lost. I went home. Next day's Monday. This thing's bigger than me. And I got to shake it. I mean, I want you to know I'm under full condemnation, full conviction. I'll tell you right now, I'm wanting some relief. I mean, kind of like old Marcel said, just you over here in months, this one of us going to have some relief. I mean, I'm in a battle right now. So, I always worked with a man named Wendell Shaw. Does anybody know Wendell Shaw?
Yes.
All right. Wendell always tried to tell me about Jesus, Bonnie.
Amen.
And I'd always try to tell William about Jesus. But anyway, Wendell would always try to talk to him about Jesus. I just walk away. Why so? I wasn't interested. I'm interested now, you know what I mean?
Amen.
But I'm trying to find how I can find out how to be saved. I thought if I can just get to Wendell, he can tell me how to be saved. So I go out there to R. Donnelly's. This is kind of a testimony. I guess the Lord wants it this way. I wasn't able to give it all. I guess I need to.
Right.
But I went out there to R. Donnelly's, 10 acres on the roof.
I
agree. And I'm asking, has anybody seen Wendell? Anybody seen Wendell? And they say, Eddie, we're busy. We don't know where Wendell is. You don't understand. I've got to find Wendell. They didn't understand like me how urgent it was for me to find Wendell.
Amen.
I'm frantically asking. We ain't got time. We don't know where he is. I finally got to someone just in an effort to get rid of me. They said, I think he's in the foreman's office. Brother Don. And he was. He was in the foreman's office. If you get lost enough, if you get under enough conviction, condemnation, you know what I did? I went right into the foreman's office. They're there talking about print, Miranda. I remember I opened up that door. I said, I don't care what anyone else is talking about. I said, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I don't know how to be saved. I need somebody to tell me how to be saved. I'd like to have a... We took some pictures of that sign yesterday. I'd like to have a picture of them guys' face when I said that. Now, you're talking about a look of expression. I mean, they looked at me like, what? And that foreman, he's a Christian. I didn't even know it. But he quoted a bunch of verses of the Bible to me. You know, like Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Or Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or maybe Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's of the grace of God, lest any man should boast. I'll just tell you right now, buddy, I didn't get none of that. It had no effect on me because I've never tasted it. I've never been saved. You know what Winter did, Bonnie? He saw it didn't have no effect on me. He said, hey, I want to leave right now. Fellas, we walked outside that foreman's office. People brushing our shoulders on both sides between the bathroom and the foreman's office door. They're trying to get through the hall. We're standing right there in the hall. You know what Wendell Shaw told me? Very plainness of speech right here. He said, Eddie, Jesus loves you.
Right.
He said, Eddie, Jesus wants to save you.
Right.
He said, Eddie, he's just waiting for you to ask him to do it. Joanne, he gave me the best illustration I've ever heard in my life.
Amen.
He said, let me give you this illustration.
Amen. That's good.
He said, if your little boy done something wrong, and he come to you and said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He said, Eddie, what would you do? I said, well, I'd forgive him, wouldn't I? He said, same way with God. There was a mustard seed of faith swell up in my heart.
That's good.
Immediately. I knew no matter what my son had done, I would forgive him, and all of a sudden I realized God would forgive me. I couldn't wait to serve him. I don't know no other way to say this. I drove home 9000 Edmond Road, right between Glasgow and Edmond, right there about the Midcap Turning Down Line. I went back to that back bedroom, Miranda. I still remember the prayer I prayed. Ain't that amazing? You remember something like that?
Yeah.
I knelt down there, Rita. Here's what I said. I said, Dear Lord, somebody told me you love me. Somebody told me that if I would ask you, you'd forgive me my sins and you would save my soul. And I said, Lord, and I was crying my eyes out. I said, Lord, the best way I know how, right here, right now, I'm asking you to save me. And immediately the condemnation, the guilt, left immediately, and the peace of God and the joy of being saved took its place to the point I got up and went, looked in the mirror, and I guess I thought I was going to have a halo, but I couldn't see nothing different, but boy, it was different.
That's right.
Went all over Glasgow apologizing to people, giving them a cussing, bragging about how dark it was going to get when we got home. They all said, we've been praying for you.
Amen.
But
you know what? You remember that woman I made fun about getting baptized in 2 weeks? This was the next woman lying behind her when she got baptized. Don't God have a little humor?
Yeah. Anyway.
When Sandra Ford got baptized, the next one in line was Edie Wade.
Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? Bless God has a little humor. But listen, I had never tasted. I had no idea. I just want you to know, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. I had never tasted. Amen.
Amen.
I have now.
Yeah,
now I feel like what Jesus told that man in Mark 5. Go home. Tell your friends and your family what great things the Lord's done. Man, I tell them out there at work, Joanne, I couldn't keep up with all I told them. And they tell me that Nancy at work, she said, hey, we're happy for you.
Amen.
But you done told me about 10 now. I never got tired of telling them. You know what I mean?
Amen.
How do you handle them? I told my mama, she said, when you get home, look up the word fanatic. She said, that's what you are. But oh, listen, I had never tasted of the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness and the blessing and the joy of being saved. And listen, I'll tell you, I never will get tired of telling people what He done for me. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Woo!
Yes.
Did you notice verse 4? That heavenly gift?
Yeah.
I got that heavenly gift now.
That's right.
That's right.
I didn't have it before.
Amen.
Now, Sunday school was good. We were right along with this. About not being wise in your own eyes. In my own eyes, I thought I was as good as everybody else.
Yeah.
Right.
I looked at Miranda, I thought, I'm good as she is. She's going, I'm going. But you see, when you're not wise in your own eyes, you don't realize you've got to be as good as Jesus to go to heaven.
That's right.
Now, if there's anybody in here that walk up here and Jesus standing here and say, I'm as good as him, you're good to go. But if you can't say that, then you need what I did. You need to be saved, and then he'll take his righteousness and impute it to you.
That's right.
Then you can be accepted in the beloved, and now you're a member of the family of God, and the Father's your Father now.
Right.
I'm not against adoption. I got adopted, brother Doc.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm a child of the King now.
Yeah.
When he read your will, I'm going to be there. It's yet to be seen just how rich I am.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm going to read it, but I don't know what I'm going to do with all of it.
Amen.
I know one thing. When our daughter got killed in a car wreck in 1995, May the 30th, I remember getting down on my knees, fighting back the tears because the well of my soul, the dam, had broken.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, I said, I don't even know if this is even possible. But I said, Lord, if it is possible, if I do have any rewards at all in heaven, I said, would you give them to my daughter, hug her neck, and tell her daddy loves her, and I'll serve her again. If I've not got any, just hug her neck and tell her I love her. Amen.
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 We will get a reward.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I wish I could go through it again. I know you can't. And I kind of wished I could. I can't work the storm up no more.
No.
You see, God had to get me lost. I couldn't even get myself lost.
Right.
One reason I couldn't get myself lost, I wouldn't go where I needed to get to get lost.
That's
right. See, I mean, I'd abstain from the house of God. Psalm 73, verse 17, I believe it was, brother, Sunday school this morning, said, until I went to the sanctuary of God, I didn't know, He said, I didn't understand it. But, I've never been to church. I didn't understand nothing about getting lost. It didn't take long to get lost, I'll tell you that right now. It didn't take long to get saved, but God had to get me lost
before
you get me saved.
Right.
The goodness of God leads men in repentance. God has been good to me. He's kind to the unthankful.
Amen.
Well, let me wrap this up. I wasn't even giving my whole testimony here. But you notice there, verse 4, not only the heavenly gift, but you notice that word, it's impossible. Now, this is a doctrinal truth. And you may disagree with me here. And I certainly don't have an axe to grind. I've been on both sides of the fence on this.
Amen.
The reason it says it's impossible, you can only get saved one time.
That's right.
God got me under conviction because I've never been saved.
Right.
Now I have rededicated, I've repented, all of that. I've only been saved one time.
That's it.
Like I said, don't argue with me on this. I'll tell you right now, my man knows what he's talking about. It's impossible. I've tried to work it up. I have. The storm just won't blow no more. There's a great calm in my soul.
Right.
I can't get the waves to reach no more. I'm not out of control no more. You just can't do it. There's a great peace because the Prince of Peace abides within
you.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
And a lot of people, they do try to make havoc of what I'm telling you here. Once you've tasted of the heavenly gift, it's impossible to get lost again. You can get in the far country. You can get away from God. But you can't never get to where... Jesus said he knew his sheep by name. You remember that prodigal son in Luke 15? He came himself. You can get as far away from God as you want to, sure. But I'll tell you what, you won't get so far that you won't know that there's God.
That's right. Amen.
Reaching out, trying to get your attention.
That's
when that prodigal son came to himself, immediately he said, I'm going to rise, go to my father, and I'm going to say, I'm not even worthy to be his son. And he said, I've sinned against heaven, against you, just make me a hired servant. He didn't make him a hired servant.
That's right.
Would you disown David, Mark?
Mm-hmm.
Would you disown David,
mm-hmm.
Miranda? See what I mean? Well, God's a much better
Amen.
Parent than any of us.
That's right.
I belong to him now.
Right. Hey,
he paid top dollar. I wasn't worth a bent nickel, Dallas. He paid top dollar for a worthless sinner
right.
such as myself.
Right.
You remember Saul before he became Paul?
Right.
Making havoc of the church. When he ran into Jesus, he ain't making havoc no more.
Right.
He got beaten, persecuted by a false brethren, by his own countrymen, everything. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, He never let up. He kept going. But there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I can't do it no more. I can't get lost no more.
That's right. Amen.
See, verse 6 talks about renewing them again to repentance. I can't do that. The only way I could repent was God had to put me in a position that I need to repent. I'm not trying to overpower you here. I'm just trying to tell you the truth.
Right.
When you're saved, God wrote your name down in His book.
Yeah, right.
Not only wrote your name down in His book because He owns you now. I'm not my own, been bought with a price. But He says, I got a record right here, April 27, 1988. I saved an old drunk named Eddie Wade. He's still working on me, Miranda. One day I'll get all polished up and I'll be a jewel fit for His crown.
Yeah, amen.
But I have no axe to grind. I used to be the other way. I fought adamantly the other way. I have to admit, God was right and I was wrong. I had to raise up my white flag on that.
Amen.
So let me get off of that. I have tasted not only the heavenly gift, I've tasted the good word of God in verse 5. And that heavenly manna, it satisfies and sustains my soul and my salvation. I'm saved. I'm satisfied. I'm serving today because I've tasted of the good word of God.
Amen. That's right.
What do you mean by that, Brother Eddie? Remember it said, let us go on? Verse 2. A lot of people get saved, they don't go on, Joanne.
Right.
Jesus said, if you be my disciples, continue in my word. Right. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Mm-hmm. When you get saved, at least read the Gospel of John. Feed that Holy Spirit. Feed Amen. Your soul. Give some substance to go on. Don't go out lean. Don't go out, I'll tell you right now, weak and anemic. Go out, I'm telling you, charge hell with a water
bottle. Right. Amen.
Realize greater is He to you, He's in the world.
Right.
Realize if God be for you, who can be against you.
That's right.
Realize who you are thanks to Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
I gotta wrap this up. I'm not only going on. That's actually verse 1. I said verse 2. But I've tasted of the powers to come that Paul mentioned there in verse 5. The power of prayer.
Yeah.
And me and Brother Ed went and seen a man at the Cabana Hospital. Now he's down in the nursing home. It doesn't call it hospice in. He probably doesn't have long. But we prayed over him.
Amen.
See, the Bible talks about the prayer of faith in James 5. If there be any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him know him born. Pray over him. And the prayer of faith shall raise the sick. We've got to pray. The powers. I've seen God answer prayer. I like to preach a message sometime just on prayers that God has answered.
Amen.
It amazes you.
Right.
I was fishing underneath the bridge one time, Maple, and I'm catching crappie one after another.
Right.
It's a beautiful day like today, Brother Dallas. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying catching these fish. Next, I'm saved. I just continue talking to God. So I'm sitting there fishing. I said, Lord, there's another. Thank you, Lord. I'm putting in a 5-gallon bucket for a mission. I said, Lord, there's nothing. Thank you. And having a conversation with God, I hear dogs barking.
Right.
And I was on my way talking to God. Now I again got walking with God. I said, Lord, I bet you them dogs are chasing a deer. They were, Rita. And I'm sitting there catching crappie one after another. And directly I heard something. I looked. Sure enough, there's a little deer over there on the other side of the bank where I'm at, Brother Jerry. I'm right underneath the Sidon Bridge. Does anybody know what a sitting bridge is? I'm underneath it. I'm sitting there catching crappie every cast. I said, Lord, I sure would like to have had my deep freeze. When I said those words, Brother Dallas, that deer started up that hill, started to come across that bridge like Billy Goat Gruff, to the clock. An old farm truck come down the road, running like my old truck, backfiring. Sounded like somebody shooting a gun. That deer jumped off of that bridge. I heard the noise. I looked up there, Timmy, and that deer is in Olympic form, perfect. I'm out of perfect form. Perfect. He missed the water and laid it right at my feet. Broke his neck. I'm sitting there with a deer laying at my feet. A 5-gallon bucket full of crappie. And the farmer stops the truck. He looks over the bridge and he says, I sure am sorry about that. I said, He said, what do I need to do? I said, I'll take care of it for you. He said, well, thank you, son. Got in that truck, boom, 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 down the road. I grabbed that deer, thrown it on my shoulder. I grabbed that 5-gallon bucket of crappie, wore it both in the back of my black and white 1972 International Scout. I drove to Mama's house. I said, Mama, come out here. She said, what is? I said, you got to see. Some things you just got to see, Maple.
Yeah.
Open up the back of that International Scout, and there lays that deer in there. There's that 5-gallon bucket of crop. I said, hell's that, Mama? She said, how'd you get that? I said, I just asked for it, Mama. And I had this here and that deer grease before the sun went down. That's the best deer I've ever eaten in my life. I'll just tell you right now, I've tasted of the powers, amen, that God gives His children. He said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents, to cast out devils, amen. How do you stop it? I'm actually like this. I've tasted.
Yeah.
If you haven't, we're going to give an invitation. I strongly recommend that you give Him a chance.
Right. Amen.
Father, we thank You for the message. Thank You for the help. Thank You for the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes.
Lord, take this message, use it however You want to use it.
Yes.
Do with it whatever You want to do, but may all the glory belong to You. In Jesus' name. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. I'd like to ask Brother Jerry, please, Sister Sharon, just one verse of invitation on him. And if you need to come, I'll pray with you. I can't pray for you, but I'll pray with you. If you don't need to come, that's okay.
Number 3.